There are a few possible approaches to dealing with bullying, and one thing is clear from history: doing nothing is not an effective option. Here's Stephen Carty of family.ie.
My generation and older were brought up in a regime where bullying by teachers and parents and so on was the norm, and that children were dictated to, and we have all the consequence of inappropriate handling of children, you know, that went on in former generations that's manifesting itself in today. And parents are now reluctant, in a sense, to discipline their children because those parents were bullied, maybe, and they don't want to put any stops, if you like, in the way of their children. So they're afraid to put boundaries in the way, which would be in the best interest of the children as well. And they're afraid to discipline them, all of which would be expressions of safety and love, actually, and care for the children. But they're afraid to do that because the parents were bullied and had a hard time, and they don't want to give that to their kids. And they're, you know, it's tough. So the job of being a parent in today's 21st century is a challenging job. But we want to encourage parents that where there is a bullying situation going on, don't wait and see what will happen.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Pretty strong words, but we think you'll agree that this is a serious issue that has long-lasting effects on many in Irish society. This is family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. On behalf of Stephen Carty and Heather Walsh, you're very welcome along to today's programme. This is episode 3 of our 5-part series titled Have a New Kid by Friday, based on the best-selling book by Dr. Kevin Lehman. Throughout each of our programmes, we're taking it one day at a time. Today, we're going to examine 3 rather weighty issues. In addition to bullying, Stephen, Heather and Life FM presenter Anna Daly discuss how to deal with your kids' temper tantrums and stomping. Now, you may be thinking, stomping? Really? Stephen, compared to bullying and temper tantrums, that seems pretty lame, does it not?
Believe it or not, when we were looking at some of these issues, stomping out of the room and temper tantrums were fairly serious. Mm-hmm. But we also looked at the issue of bullying and realised that bullying is also a very serious issue, and it goes way beyond the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because bullying is, as you said, you know, looking at some of the sites that you mentioned, bullying is such a prevalent problem, and we've seen it hitting the headlines more and more in the media. But it has to be tackled by the parents, or I'm assuming it'll get worse. Is that correct, Stephen?
That's correct. Reading both from Dr. Lehman's book and from citizensinformation.ie, you know, both of them are saying the basic thing that Dr. Lehman is saying is, look, if bullying has taken place, it must be confronted. It can't be allowed to continue. It must be treated seriously. And if somebody is either bullying, i.e. being the bully, mm-hmm. or if your child is being bullied by somebody else, then in both cases, parents need to intervene and get going. You know, they need to take action on this, both in the interests of the child who may be being bullied, and also in the interest of rescuing the person, the child who may be doing some bullying. Because if it's not addressed, it tends to continue. And if it continues on from childhood into later in life, into the teens and into adulthood, it creates a serious problem, Anna.
Yeah, and I know we're going to look at the child who's being bullied in just a moment. But Heather, could I just say, I suppose really, as a mother, none of us want to think that our child is being the bully. What if our child, our beloved little son or daughter, is actually being the bully?
Well, you're right, Anna. No parent wants to face that. And everybody would say, oh, you're my little fellow would never do that. So we need to watch from very early on without the rose tint in our glasses. Our children are just children. They're not, you know, they're fabulous children and I adore children. But they're not angelic beings. They are just children and they will all have their different ways of responding to other children. And you have to be able to leave the rose-tinted glasses behind and look at what your child is doing. You hear this time and time again, how marvellous little Rosie is and how wonderful little Johnny is. But actually, little Rosie and little Johnny both have their difficult side as well, mm-hmm. and their challenging side. And if you think or you sense or you're told that your child is being a bully, you know, it's very hard for mom to accept that, but mom really has to think about that and do something about it. Because the person that has told you that, or if you've witnessed it yourself, you've obviously seen it with your own eyes. But if somebody has told you that, chances are they're not being mean and nasty, but they are concerned. I'd like to think that somebody reporting that to a parent was concerned, both for the child he's bullying and for the bully. Because actually, we think the victim here is always the person who is bullied, and there is no doubt They are hugely victimized, and it's a major difficulty. But this person who does the bullying is also a needy person. Mm-hmm. It's a very needy person. It's somebody who's insecure, who feels that the only way they can have any meaning in their life is to be like the one on top all the time. They feel that there's no other way they can exert themselves but to take this I'm better than you approach. And really, that's a very needy position. And if your child is behaving like that, it's really time to stop and start working out what is going on with my child. And Dr. Lehman says, go for the jugular. Now, if this is a three-year-old child, you have to be careful. But, you know, if it's an older child, go for it head on. Do not leave it to one side. Don't say, oh, I'm sure that, you know, he deserved it, or I'm sure he didn't mean it. Because chances are he did mean it, and the child didn't deserve it.
Yeah, and really, I think, Heather, what you're saying is that this is a very serious issue, and our children need to know it's not acceptable under any circumstances at any time to bully another child or another person.
That's right, and right from preschool. I mean, you can see it in the preschool. Yeah. You know, you don't have to wait till they're 12 or 13. You can see it from their interactions very early on.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, as you said, if an issue comes up within the school, and I know I've spoken to teachers before who have told me that parents will not accept the judgment that their child has done something to another child. You know, sometimes parents think the school is just picking on that child, their own child. And I think we, as you said, we do need to take off those rose-tinted glasses and see our kids are kids. They're not always angels. Things are going to happen.
That's exactly right, Anne. And it's very easy as a parent to not want to accept a comment about your child that makes you feel that your child has done something bad. Because we're trying to raise really good. I love Stephen's phrase about magnificent adults. That's what we're all working towards.
Yeah.
No parent is setting out to raise a bully, you know. So it's really, really hard to accept that. But if as a parent you can take a step back and not feel personally this is your fault without the rose tint in our glasses and do something about it.
And yes, often the first step is simply to admit that there's a problem. This is family.ie, and you're listening to the third of our five-part series called Have a New Kid by Friday. We know that we're barely scratching the surface of a very heavy subject. We need to take a quick break, but when we continue, Stephen and Heather will suggest some very practical ways you can help your child if they are the victim of bullying. And later on today's programme, we'll move on to two more issues that us parents and caregivers will undoubtedly encounter: temper tantrums and stomping. So we hope you'll stay tuned for more. By the way, you'll find information about the book our series is based on and many resources designed to help you and your family thrive on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie as we continue our series called Have a New Kid by Friday. If your child has been acting out or withdrawing in a way that's just not characteristic, sometimes there is a deeper issue than simply the normal stages of adolescence. It might be that your child has fallen victim to bullying. If you've been in that situation, or maybe you're still in it, we know that it can be heartbreaking, but it's not hopeless. We now return to the conversation with Stephen, Heather and Anna to talk about some practical steps you can take to intervene on your child's behalf.
In an environment like a school or, let's say, a club maybe that the child is in, then it's absolutely vital that the issue is taken up with the responsible person. You know, if they're in a club and it's a hurling team or a swimming team or whatever it is, the chances are the child will leave. But if it's taking place in school, that's more difficult for the child because they can't so easily get out of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it must be taken up with the teacher. Now, if the teacher, if let's say, for example, you go to the teacher and you say, look, I believe my child is being bullied in school or is being mistreated by other children, and the teacher does not take that seriously, then you've got to go to the principal. Now, it's very unlikely, Anna, in Irish schools, the teachers won't take bullying or complaints by parents of bullying actually seriously. So it would be quite unlikely and it'd be unusual. And if you or I went to the teacher in any of the classes that our children are in and the teacher sort of was dismissive. Because the teachers are trained to treat this issue as important. But if they don't take it seriously and they don't sort of make a statement like, look, I appreciate you coming and telling me about this, I'll be keeping my eye on it. If there's anything goes on, I'll make sure that I'll deal with it straight away. And if your child feels uncomfortable or threatened or intimidated in any way, let them know that they can come to me straight away about it, that I'm aware of it and that I will deal with it if it happens.
Yeah.
That creates a safe environment for that child, makes that child feel safe and comfortable. And, you know, if a teacher doesn't give you that sort of a response and says, ah, well, that doesn't happen here, then you need to go to the principal. Where a child has been bullied, the long-term damage that can be done, you know, the loss of self-worth and depression and feeling of worthlessness that can come in, withdrawal from friends, as they get older, maybe leading beyond depression into potentially suicidal tendencies. These are very serious consequences of, let's say, rejection by peers,
yeah,
Anna, that takes place when bullying is taking place. So therefore, bullying is totally unacceptable.
Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, there are different forms of bullying. You mentioned the isolation, and I think that's one of the areas of bullying that is very prevalent, where one child is isolated out of the little groups in school and ends up with no friends and is really not allowed into any of the groups. And I know parents of children who have been through this situation, and one child actually said to me recently that, you know, before that actually happened, her confidence levels were much higher, but her confidence was badly wounded because of just not being accepted into any of these little groups. And that in itself was a very serious form of bullying, not allowing a child into a group.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's shocking what goes on. And really, we as parents need to get alongside our children. This happened, a similar situation you just described happened with one of my children during, you know, during their childhood. And what we did was we came alongside the child and we reassured our own child of how much she was valued,
yeah,
how much they were loved and how much, you know, they were cared for, so that when they were rejected, if you like, by the peer group, that we told them this was unacceptable. And we had a situation with even a parent joining my child's friend in leaning on my child a little bit. And we said to my child, look, that is totally unacceptable behavior by that parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's incredible where people don't have boundaries, if you like, in terms of how they relate to other people. And I'm sure in that case, the parent probably thought they were doing some good, but in fact, they were doing harm. And people have a sort of odd sense of what's right and wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
And our responsibility as parents is to protect our children and to raise them because, you know, as Heather said a little bit earlier about the need for an apology, like what an apology does is acknowledges that the child feels validated by feeling that they were hard done by and that something wrong has been done to them. And an apology expresses that and sort of says, look, I, the bully, was wrong to bully you, the victim.
Yeah.
And it allows the victim child to feel that their feelings of rejection and so on are valid and that they have justification for feeling hurt and offended.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows, if there's a genuine apology, for healing to take place and for the child who's been bullied to feel that, you know, they're not worthless, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That message that they were given that they're not wanted wasn't an honest message. It wasn't a valid message and that they can get over it. But so many, Anna, of my generation and older, they were brought up in a regime where bullying by teachers and parents and so on was the norm and that children were dictated to. And we have all the consequence of inappropriate handling of children, you know, that went on in former generations that's manifesting itself in today. And parents are now reluctant, in a sense, to discipline their children because those parents were bullied maybe, and they don't want to put any stops, if you like, in the way of their children. So they're afraid to put boundaries in the way, which would be in the best interest of the children as well. And they're afraid to discipline them, all of which would be expressions of safety and love, actually, and care for the children. But they're afraid to do that because the parents were bullied and had a hard time and they don't want to give that to their kids. And they're, you know, it's tough. So the job of being a parent in today's 21st century is a challenging job. But we want to encourage parents that where there is a bullying situation going on, don't wait and see what will happen.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. Make sure it's stopped. If it's in the school, go to the principal if the teacher's not dealing with it, etc. Because in the interest, the child needs to know that you're going to step up to the mark and protect them.
Yeah. And I think, as you said, we have to be very vigilant. And, you know, I have to say, actually, that situation happened with one of my own children where my child was isolated from the groups. And to be honest, and I have to say, my own fault, I was a little bit slow in reacting, because when I was told first, oh, so-and-so won't play with me, so-and-so won't play with me, I honestly thought, you know, it wasn't a big deal, you know, oh, that person won't play, or that person, you know, don't be so sensitive, just go and make, you know, chat to other people or whatever it is. And I hadn't realised that the situation had gotten, you know, a little bit out of hand, you know, that I had been told that, yeah, my child was in fact very seriously isolated. And, you know, I think in that sense, we do have to be vigilant and listen to our children. And it's not being, you know, making other children play. You know, these things happen, so-and-so won't play with me. You know, but you have to watch those situations so that they won't develop into something that is affecting your child.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, bullies that are allowed to get away with bullying in childhood grow up to be adult bullies. You know, they're not nice people to be around, Anna, and we all know that. And they don't make good husbands or wives. They don't make good parents. They don't make good employees, etc.
So, stepping in to confront bullying now can seriously help the future of the future adult in your care. This is family.ie, and we hope you're finding our programme today and our series called Have a New Kid by Friday helpful so far. On the other side of this brief timeout, we'll look at two more issues that no doubt affect all of us who deal with children in any capacity: temper tantrums and stomping. While they mightn't be as serious as bullying, they are still very real issues that need to be dealt with properly. We'd love to hear from you as well. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886. And you can email us as well, radio@family.ie. Or indeed, if there's any way we can help you in your family and relationships, please let us know. Our address again is radio@family.ie. This is family.ie, and we've been highlighting some of the issues that us parents and caregivers face in dealing with kids, and offering some practical ways to help change their attitude, behaviour and character. Before the break, Stephen and Heather and Anna discussed a very big problem among children today: bullying. There's obviously much more to be said, and we will no doubt cover in future programmes more at length, but for now, Heather, let's move on to another couple of subjects that present themselves in our kids' lives, starting with a tactic that kids often use to try to bully us adults: temper tantrums.
Well, temper tantrums do arise, and any moms listening to the programme will almost all have experienced a temper tantrum with their child. If they haven't, it's very exceptional. People do talk about the terrible twos. I prefer to talk about the terrific twos, because I think two-year-olds are at that time when they're trying to exert their own little bit of authority. They're trying to find out who they are, and they're exploring all kinds of things. So if we think more positively about the terrific twos instead of the terrible twos, we tend to get a better grasp on where we're at. Negative thinking tends to bring negative results. If your child is two, the tried and tested method, and this is Dr. Lehman's advice of say it once, turn your back and walk away, will almost certainly work. It will eventually, this two-year-old will get the message that kicking his heels on the floor actually isn't working for anyone. You have to stand your ground. You're the parent and you're in charge. This is with your two-year-old now. So they're just beginning to test mom. They're beginning to find out where are the boundaries. And if you waver at this stage, then really they're in charge. And that's what we don't want. We want parent in charge. That's how it's meant to be. As the child gets a little older, and it's quite possible to deal with a two-year-old having a temper tantrum, I think the most difficult part of it is the embarrassment that you feel as a parent if you're in the supermarket.
Yeah.
The child is having a little fit on the floor, a temper tantrum, and you're mortified in front of all these people. In fact, if you can just blank all the people out and say, I'm dealing with a child who's going to grow up to be a magnificent person, and this is just a blip in the middle of that, doesn't matter what anyone thinks, I'm going to do it my way, the right way.
Yeah.
And deal with it, then you'll have more success. If you're fazed by the fact that everybody's looking at you and you rush in and try and, you know, overcome with a bar of chocolate or something, that's just disastrous, because that's given a great message to that two-year-old that says, show mom up anywhere you go and you're going to get a bar of chocolate. So you have to just face the fact that you've got to deal with this head on. Now, when your child gets a little bit older, maybe he's about 6 or 8, it will still work, but it might be a little bit harder. But also remember, they're more able to put reasoning into the situation and make a link between what they do, what you do, and what the end result is than the two-year-old. They're more able to do it. So although they might push it a bit longer and make it a bit harder, they will get that connection. problem comes when you haven't dealt with it as a 2-year-old or an 8-year-old, and then they're an 18-year-old. Temper tantrums in older children are very serious and can result in, you know, furniture throwing and books being hurled around the place and all sorts of things. And so we need to help children to control their emotions and to be able to release that tension that they feel about something in a more appropriate way. So the secret really is to deal with it as early as possible. And I'm back to the ABC, back to the apology. ABC, admit, be sorry, and commit to never doing it again. And you will be able to work with children who are a little bit older, you know, in early teens, to really learn that temper tantrums really don't pay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as you said, maybe if we have more than one child, we're going to, some children will be easier, they'll get them that message quicker than others, but consistency, and we'll get there.
That's exactly right. And also children learn from each other. So mm-hmm. if the eldest in the family has a big fit and gets what he wants, the next one is watching that. And he's saying, well, I must try that the next time. And baby is also watching. My turn, exactly. So you really got to put your foot down on this one.
Well, actually, it is Stephen's turn. And I know we're out of time, Stephen, and we didn't get to the stomping.
Sorry, Stephen. I went on too long.
We didn't get to the stomping out of the room. But it is kind of important, though, the stomping out of the room. So if you had just one line to give us on that, what would you say?
Sure. I mean, the temper tantrum is about a power play by the child to try and control the adult. In the case of the stomping out of the room, it's, you know, it's usually because there's been an argument and you're both involved. One of the best things a parent can teach a child is an apology. So if stomping out of the room takes place because you've had an argument or a row, it takes two to have that row.
Yeah.
The best way to disarm your child is to apologize for the part that you played in it. And then look and teach them to apologize for their part in it. And when you have a pattern of restoring relationships when they've, let's say, you know, broken down because of an argument and somebody stomped out of the room, then you've set up a good pattern of behavior within your family, because when there are breaches, they get fixed rather than being left with open wounds.
And that's okay, isn't it? To deal with problems as they arise and as much as possible prevent others before they begin. You've been listening to Family.ie, and this was the third in our 5-part series based on the book by Dr. Kevin Lehman, Having New Kid by Friday, How to Change Your Child's Attitude, Behavior and Character in 5 Days. For more information on the book, copies of this audio series and more resources to help you in your family and relationships, including details on the How to Drug-Proof Your Kids training program, we invite you to stop by our website, www.family.ie, and we're pleased to offer you some free audio downloads. Over the last few years, we've made many radio programs covering areas such as parenting, marriage, relationships, and emotions. We hope you'll head over to our website where you can listen and download some of those programs absolutely free. Family.ie. While you're there, make sure you see how you can also follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and with thanks to Anna Daly, and on behalf of our own Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh, we thank you for listening and invite you back next time for more in our Have a New Kid by Friday series.
The biggest users, believe it or not, of pornography are 12 to 17-year-olds. Mm. I mean, it's shocking. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that parents have the responsibility to protect their children so their children don't get drawn into a world that will be harmful to them. And that's what we want to encourage parents to do, is to be involved with their kids, help them to continue on the right road of developing good attitudes, because sometimes what goes on in the social media is not good.
That's next time. And until then, slangafoil. Thank you for listening to Family.ie. Families strengthening families.